Well, welcome back to Kingdom Encounter Live. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. So glad you took the time out to join us. Man, we've been talking about a series over the last few weeks. We've been talking about this series, talking about how the Holy Spirit is the X factor and how, you know, the Holy Spirit, when you truly understand what his ministry is, when you truly understand what his role is, then, man, it will take your walk with the as a new follower of Jesus, or if you've been following Jesus for a long time, it will take your walk to a whole different level. It will take your life to a whole different level. And we began talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We began talking about the fact that the Holy Spirit, you have the Holy Spirit within, and then you have the Holy Spirit upon. And we began to talk about some of the things that the Holy Spirit would do. But this morning, when I was getting ready to go out to have breakfast with one of my good brothers, this morning, the Holy Spirit says, you know, there's the Holy Spirit, what I do on the inside of an individual, but it's also the working of the Holy Spirit on the outside. And we're going to talk tonight about what is the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside. Now, if I was to give this message a title, I would give this message a title. It would be Holy Spirit, the Developer of Character. The Holy Spirit, who is the developer of character. And why is that so important? Well, a lot of people are more interested in getting titles, and more people are looking to get promotions, and more people are looking to get more power. But he says, before I ever entrust you with power, the first thing I work on is your character. You can have all the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit and still not be operating in godly character. A prime example of that was the Church of Corinthians. They had all kinds of manifestations of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul said, even though in 1 Corinthians 3, he says, even though I ought to be able to talk to you as being mature, he says, I still got to talk to you as babes. He says, like, I got to talk to you like you are just mere men, as those who have never heard of, been encountered with, or the Lord Jesus Christ at all. He says, because you still have bickering and arguing and fighting among you. He says, are you not like mere men? He says, because you're bickering and arguing about, you know, this, I follow this preacher, and I follow that preacher, and I follow this preacher. And then Paul has to finally break it down. He says, he says, it comes down to this. We're all just ministers. Paul talking about himself included. We're all just ministers who God uses to minister to you, to build you as spiritual houses, using the word of God by the Holy Spirit in order to mature the character of God on the inside of each and every one of you. He says this, he says, one sows the seed, another waters the seed, but God is the only one who can bring the increase. Did you hear that? One sows the seed, talking about the word of God. Another waters the seed. What does it water mean? It means to continue to repeat it again and again. And it's because faith, according to Romans chapter 1:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because see, you can have faith, which is you can have a persuasion, alliance, you can have assurance, you can be totally believing something and have faith in something, and it can be in anything. You can have faith in the fact that when you sit down in a chair, it's going to hold your weight. Many people operate by faith every week when they go to that job, and that you're in agreement with that employer, and that employer says, at the end of these 2 weeks, I'm going to have a paycheck for you, and you have not seen the money, you haven't seen the bank account, you haven't seen any of those things, but simply because they said it, you believed it, and as a result of you believing it, you acted out on it. He says it's the same thing when it talks about faith. It's that you hear it, and you got to make a decision to receive it. You got to make a decision to believe it, and as a result of it, you will begin to act out on it when you know you truly believe. And see, that's the same thing when it talks about how when you understand the ministry and the working of the Holy Spirit, when he's working on the inside of you, you already understand that he's working on your character. See, the thing about it is when you first got born again, unless you renew your mind by the word of God, you will still think the same way you think thought before. You will still respond the same way you responded before. And you might even be saying and doing some of the same stuff you did before, even though you have the very nature of God on the inside of you. If you don't do something different and allow and work and cooperating with the Holy Spirit, which we're going to find out tonight, then 5 years, 10 years down the road, you'll still be making the same mistakes you did before because you have not done the key thing in coming in agreement with Holy Spirit, coming in agreement with the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to do the ministry that we're going to talk about tonight. Now, why am I saying all this? Why are we sharing all this? Why is this such a big deal tonight? Because the Father says, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3, he was talking to his disciples. They was talking to him, and they was walking through the temple area, walking through Jerusalem. He said, and not long after this, these buildings that you see right now, all these rocks gonna fall down on one another. Then Jesus says, and I'm reading out of Matthew chapter 24, verse number 3, where it says this. He says, and while he was seated on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, tell us, and they're gonna ask him three things. When will this take place? And what will be the sign of your coming? And what is the sign of the end or completion or the consummation of this age? So they're asking Jesus, when is all these things going to happen with these buildings, with the rocks going to fall on top of one another? When is this, what's the indicators or signs of your coming? And when will this age, the age of church age, end? Then Jesus, this is what Jesus said. This is his answer. Be careful that no one misleads you, deceiving you, and leading you into error. He says in verse number 5, for many will come in on the strength of my name, appropriating the name which belongs to me, saying, I am the Christ, the Messiah, and they will lead many astray. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you that day has started back then, and that day is still right now, that many people have come saying that they're doing the work of the Lord, and they have led many people astray. And the first thing, the number one indicator, how do you know that the end of this, that Jesus' return is near, and that the end of this age is coming, is there will be many who will be misled, they were being deceived, and they're being led into error. You said, man, that's let every word about be established by two or more witnesses. Well, if we go to 1 Timothy chapter 4, Timothy is, Paul was saying this to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. He says this in verse number 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, but the Holy Spirit, who? The Holy Spirit distinctly and expressly declares in latter times, some will turn away from the faith. Why will they turn away from the faith? Because they begin giving attention to deluding and seducing spirits and doctrines that demons teach, through the hypocrisy and pretension of liars whose consciences are seared. So what did he say? He says, in the latter times, people will begin to turn away from the faith, turn away from what it was they once believed, turning away from what the Word of God says. And why will they begin to turn away? Because they would begin to give their attention to something else, our teachings and doctrines that come from seducing spirits, delusional spirits, spirits of demon spirits, teachings that demons will teach. And we're going to begin to talk about some of that this evening. He says they will turn away, and he says they will do it with hypocrisy, which means, you know, the word hypocrisy simply means you're a pretender. And he says, and they're going to use lies in order to draw people away from the truth. Now, I want to share something with you. They will draw people away from the truth. How will they do it? Go about doing it? Through distractions. don't get you so busy looking at this and looking at this on YouTube and looking at this on Facebook and looking at this on TikTok that you will be so confused because there's so many voices in all the earth that you, and because you won't, if people don't spend time with God, spend time in His Word, and become familiar with the Holy Spirit, then what happens is the teaching will sound right, but it's a lie. In fact, Paul said this in Galatians, and in first chapter of Galatians, he asked the church of Galatia, he says, who has beseeched you? In other words, who has astonished you with the things that they said and the things that they do to the point where you have turned away from the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, which we taught you from the very beginning. He goes on to say, he says, what are they doing? They're bewitching you, or they're astonishing you and cause you to turn away from the truth. What does bewitch means? To astonish you to the point that you are turned away from the truth and you begin to see a lie. You ever see a magician? How he says, keep your eyes on the card, watch my hands. And while you're watching his hands, you're not seeing all the other stuff that's going on behind it. Why? Because he has distracted you from from what's really going on and only presenting to you what it is that he wants you to see. And the adversary is the same way. But can somebody says, but God will never be outdone. God says, I tell you what, Jesus said, I'm about to go. He's telling his disciples, he says, in John chapter 14, he's telling them, I'm about to go. He says, but before I go, I'm going to pray to the Father, and he's going to send you another helper. We find this in John chapter 14, verse number 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, or because you love me, you will keep my commandments. Then Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So where was the Holy Spirit? He's your helper. And what's he going to do? He's going to abide with you, live with you, take up residence with you. For how long? If you are a follower of Jesus, forever. It is the Spirit of truth. Now you have truth, and then you have the lie. What did it say that the adversary was going to use? Are doctrines of demons and seducing and delusional spirits were going to do. They were going to use hypocrisy, pretension, and lies. But what did it say the Holy Spirit is? The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor does the world know him. But you, as a follower of Jesus, knows him. Why would you know the Holy Spirit as a follower of Jesus? Because he dwells with you and the Holy Spirit will be in you. So where is the Holy Spirit? If you're a follower of Jesus, he is on the inside of you. And how long is he going to be there? Forever. In fact, the Holy Spirit is a down payment on your eternal salvation. In fact, because the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, you cannot be born again from above unless you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and the Holy Spirit makes the great exchange. Holy Spirit comes on the inside of you and of your spirit, and he removes that old sin nature and he places on the inside of you the very nature of God. He places on the inside of you the very kingdom of God, which we know in accordance to Romans chapter 14, verse 17, that the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy, and peace in or through the Holy Spirit. It goes on to say in John chapter 14, I'm picking it up here in verse 25, it says, Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you while I'm being present with you. He says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, who the Father will send in my name, what will the Holy Spirit do? He will teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the things which I have said. Now, Jesus is saying, what the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to teach you in all things about what? In all things concerning the kingdom of God, of righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit, how to operate according to the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, he says, except you be born again, he says, you can't even see comprehend or understand the kingdom of God. He says, marvel not that I said you must be born again. He says, because the only way that you can enter into the kingdom of God is by getting born again from above by the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. That's the only way that you can receive the kingdom of God. This is the only way you can enter into the kingdom of God, because you have to go through the door of Jesus Christ in order to receive the Holy Spirit. Because the moment you receive Jesus as Lord, the Holy Spirit makes the great exchange with you, and he comes to take up residence inside of your spirit, because you are a spirit. And according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you are a three-part being. You are a spirit that possesses a soul, which is your mind, will, and emotion, or your feeler, your chooser, your thinker, and you live in the physical body. The only way you have expression or authority in the earth is if your spirit is housed in the physical body. Anything else other than that, if somebody says, man, I got spirits in my house, that spirit is illegal. Why? Because it has no expression in the earth unless it's inside of a physical body. That's why it's hoping that you will yield yourself to that spirit, and then that spirit can operate through you to have expression in the earth. Otherwise, the moment you say, in the name of Jesus, I command you to go, and that spirit has no choice but to go, because you have a spirit and you live in a physical body, you have authority in the earth. Now, the moment you get born again, Paul says this to the church of Rome in Romans chapter 12, verse number 2. Now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit is the developer of character. He's going to develop the character of the kingdom of God on the inside of you. Now, you saying the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me? Well, you said that in John chapter 14, but give me another place where it says the Holy Spirit lives in me. I'm going to take it a step further. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You don't even have to wait till you get all the way to church before the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the temple, because you are the temple. What does it say here? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says this: do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own. You have been bought with a price, purchased with and paid for, made his own. How did you get purchased? By the shed blood of Jesus. When Jesus shed his blood for you and I, he laid down his blood on the mercy seat. He took 39 stripes plus one for every sickness and disease. And by his stripes, we're not only healed, but we are whole. And as a result, we've been bought with a price. So what are we supposed to do as a result? We are to honor God and bring glory to him in our bodies and our spirit, which belong to him. Now, his body, our physical bodies, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. And we've already found out what part of what the Holy Spirit does is he teaches us in all things concerning the kingdom of God, but he also teaches us about righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. But he also will bring back to our remembrance all the things in which Christ has said unto us. So when you get born again and you get the new nature of God on the inside of you, one of the crucial things that the Holy Spirit does is begin to develop the character of God on the inside of you. It's not just anybody's character. We're talking about the character of God. Because before you got born again, you lived in the world. You acted just like the world. You talked like the world. You thought like the world. You spoke like the world. You partied like the world. Party all the time. Party all the time. You did all kinds of things just like the world. But he says this, Paul says this to the church of Rome, Romans 12, verse number 2, he says, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, it says it this way: do not be conformed to this world or to this age, He says, don't be fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs. So Paul is telling the church who are born again, who have received the Holy Spirit, who have the nature of God on the inside of them. He says, the first thing I want to tell you is don't be conformed. Don't be fashioned after. Don't be adapted to the world's or this age's external, superficial customs. No matter what, because right now they're saying what is right is wrong, and what's wrong is right, and what used to be sweet is now bitter, and what used to be bitter is now sweet. What is it? It's turned upside down, because that's exactly what the adversary does. He perverts things and takes something that is good and turns it into something else or something that is worse. But so Paul is telling him, don't be conformed to this world or this age. He says, but rather be transformed or changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and new attitudes. Why should you not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the total renewing of your mind? You want to know why? You want to know the answer to that question? So that you may prove for yourself what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. So you don't have to say, man, I wonder what God's will is concerning marriage. I wonder what God's will is concerning dating. I wonder what God's will is concerning healing. I wonder what God's will is concerning marriage. I wonder what God's word is, a will is concerning sex. I wonder what he says when you begin to renew your mind, when you begin to be transformed through the renewing of your mind, which means you have got to put some skin in the game, which means you have got to put some work in. Now, what does it mean to be transformed? That word transform means to be changed, change the form of, to change the shape or appearance, to metamorphose. You know, when I think transform, I always think about Transformers, you know, like robots in disguise, Transformers. You know, Optimus Prime, he's rolling down one minute, he's an 18 wheeler, then he transforms and he jumps up as this big giant robot with these huge swords, and he's ready to get it on. So what does that mean when we're being transformed? That means we're going to be changed. Our form is going to be changed, our appearance is going to be changed, our thought patterns, our responses, our thoughts, our feelings, our chooser, all that's going to change, because now we're no longer conforming to this world, but we're being transformed by the total renewing of our minds. We can prove in every situation what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Who helps us to do those things? The Holy Spirit. What does he help us to do? He helps us to study the word, so we can study to show ourselves approved, according to 2 Timothy chapter 2, 15. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Many people are out there trying to study the Bible, but they're not including the Holy Spirit in it. So they're leaning to their own understanding. And how many people know when you begin to lean to your own understanding, you can come up with some pretty squirrely stuff? Now, what does it mean to conform? To conform simply means to comply with or yield to or live or act according to. So Paul is saying, don't comply with, yield to, or live according to this world, this age's way of superficial customs and ways of doing things. He says, but rather be transformed, change the form, change your shape and appearance. And you know what another way of saying it? Repent. What does repent mean? Change your thoughts, change your thinking, change your mind, change your actions. And what happens when you change your thoughts, change your thinking, change your action? You turn and you have transformed and gone a different way. Now, we say the Holy Spirit is the developer of the character of God on the inside of us. What does that character, what does character mean? Character means he is the developer of the mental, moral qualities distinctive to an individual. In other words, all the qualities that individual may have that makes them distinct from other people or places. You know, the thing about it is when you got the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he begins working in conjunction with you, not apart from you, but working in conjunction with you to get you to turn and go a different way and to begin to find out what is God's will concerning this situation or this circumstance. Because this, think about it this way. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John is saying something that's even stronger than what Paul said about not living according to this world system. He says, do not even, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says it this way. He says, do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, love for the Father is not in him. For all that is in this world is the lust of the flesh, cravings for sensual gratification, the lust of the eye, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources or in the stability of earthly things. These things do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. So why did Paul says don't be conformed to these worlds? Because the things that are in this world age, the things that are in the world today, they are not from God, but they go polar opposite from God. He says, and this world, talking about this age, this will pass away and disappear. And with it, the forbidding cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it, but he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides and remains forever. So he said, don't follow this world, because this world's way of doing things is going to pass away. But for those who made a decision, for those who settled it in their heart that they're going to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to develop the character and nature of God on the inside of them by them renewing their word, their mind, by the total renewal of their mind. He says, this person will be with the Father. This person, let me go back. It says, what happens with this person? The person who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides and remains forever with the Father. Now, what does it look like to walk and live in accordance to the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit? What does that look like? What does it look like to have the very nature and character of God on the inside of you? Well, in order to understand that, you got to go to Galatians chapter 5. When we go to Galatians chapter 5, we're going to go through and talk about what does the character of God look like, and what are the indicators, are the things of the world that we need to stay separate ourselves from, because some people may not understand the world, the Spirit. What does that mean? Well, Galatians chapter 5, verse number 16 says it this way. Paul's writing. He says, say, walk and live up habitually in the Holy Spirit, responsive to and controlled by and guided by the Holy Spirit. Then you will certainly not gratify. You won't gratify what? You will not gratify the cravings and desires of the flesh, of human nature, without God. Now, for the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Holy Spirit are opposed to the flesh, godliness, a godless human nature. What is godless human nature? That is those who are led by their flesh. Their flesh means your human nature, if you just want to know. For these two, the spirit and the flesh, are antagonistic to each other, continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do. But if you are guided, led by the Holy Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now, the doings are practices of the flesh. So if you was wondering, I don't know Pastor, what are you talking about? What are the doings and practices of the flesh? Well, I'm going to make it clear for you in case you didn't know. Are very clear. They are obvious. They are immorality, impurity, indecency, adultery, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, anger, ill temper, selfishness, divisions, dissensions, party spirits, factions, sex with peculiar opinions, heresies, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and the like. I warn you beforehand, just as I did previously, that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit are the result of the character of the Father, the character that the Holy Spirit will begin to develop in you. The work which is present, which is presence within accomplishes is this. This is the nature and character that the Holy Spirit comes to develop on the inside of you and I, is love and joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper, forbearance, kindness, goodness, benevolence, faithfulness, gentleness, meekness, humility, self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law that can bring a charge. And those who belong to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, have crucified the flesh, the godless human nature, with its passions and appetites and desires. If we live by the Holy Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. If by the Holy Spirit we have our life in God, let us go forward, walking in line, our conduct controlled by the Spirit. Let us not become vainglorious and self-conceited, competitive and challenging and provoking and irritating to one another, envying and being jealous of one another. So can't you see there's a clear distinction between when you're operating according to the flesh, which is fashioned after the dictates and customs of this world, and then when the Holy Spirit, who's on the inside of you, who's leading and guiding you on the inside, he develops a whole different character on the inside of you. And where I'm going to share this last part, and this is where we're going to stop. We find here in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse number 22, and it says this. It says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life, and becomes corrupt through lust and desires, and spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude, and put on the new nature, the regenerative self, created in God's image, God-likeness, and true righteousness and holiness. So what does it mean for me to put off the old, strip off the old, and put on the new? What does the new look like in a practical way? Well, it says this in verse number 28. It says, let the thief steal no more, but rather let him be industrious, making an honest living with his own hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. It also says, let no foul or polluting language, nor evil word, nor unwholesome or worthless talk ever come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, as is fitting to the need and the occasion, that it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear him. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Did you hear that? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not offend or vex or sadden him, by whom you were sealed, marked, branded as God's own, secured for the day of redemption, of final deliverance through Christ from the evil and consequences of sin. It goes on to say, let all bitterness, how much? All bitterness and indignation and wrath, passion, rage, bad temper, and resentment, anger, animosity, and quarreling, brawling, clamor, contention, and slander, evil speaking, abusive or blasphemous language, be banished from you with all malice, spite, ill will, or baseness of any kind. And what does it tell you to do? Put all those things off, and this is what you need to put on. become useful and helpful and kind to one another, tender-hearted, compassionate, understanding, loving-hearted, forgiving one another, readily and freely, just as God in Christ forgave you. Can you see how when you have the nature and character of the being developed on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit, how you can go about when your mind is renewed by the Word of God and you're operating in accordance and cooperation with the Holy Spirit, how the nature of God will begin to be formed on the inside of you. When you got born again, the nature of God came on the inside of you with the fruit of the Spirit, the love, joy, faith, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering, and meekness, temperance, all are on the inside of you. But you working in cooperation with the Holy Spirit will begin to have those characteristics begin to be developed on the inside of you. But in order for you to make room for the new, you've got to let go of the old. See, so many people spend so much time trying to stop doing the old that they never get around to doing the new. But the Holy Spirit says, I need you to begin to allow me to develop the character of God on the inside of you so that you can prove for yourself through the renewing of your mind what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. See, just like we talked about tonight, about the nature of God, the characteristic of being developed on the inside of you by the Holy Spirit, another thing they will do in order to, if you've never done this before, you have to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Remember, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. You won't even be able to understand the things of God unless you are born again. How do you get born again? Well, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10, it's the easiest thing you can do. In fact, it's so easy a child can do it. It says this, the word is nigh you, it's in your heart, it's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Saved means set free, made whole, complete, and delivered. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So how do you get born again? How do you make this great exchange? How do you get that old nature out and get the new nature of God on the inside of you through the person of the Holy Spirit and get the kingdom of God on the inside of you? It's as simply as praying this prayer with me, confessing it out of your mouth, meaning from your heart. Say this with me, dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe. Jesus Christ, you are the Son of the living God. I believe you died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe you was put in a grave, but now you're risen. You're alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. I repent of sin and I turn from it now. I receive your offer of salvation. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. I believe I receive the kingdom of God on the inside of me right now. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Well, if you prayed that prayer with us for the very first time, we want to welcome you to the kingdom of God. If you prayed that prayer before and you're making a rededication, we want to welcome you back. Now, what do you do now? You got to get in the Word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We believe that every follower of Jesus needs a pastor and a church home, a church family who they congregate with. You can join us here each night, Saturday night at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can go back and catch some of the other podcasts we've already put out under Ignite to Life. That again, it's Ignite the number 2 Life. Audio podcast on Apple or Spotify, and you can hear this and other messages. If this message has been a blessing to you, share it with a friend, like, share, and get that little bell every time we put out a new podcast. Next week, we're going to be talking about, now this week we talked about how the Holy Spirit within develops the character of God. Next week, we're going to be talking about how the Holy Spirit upon brings about power. It causes you to go out and be a witness. It causes you to go out and how the Holy Ghost upon you, how the Holy Ghost, God anointing you with the Holy Ghost and power will enable you to go out and do good and heal all who are oppressed of the devil because God is with you. God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.